Hello and welcome back to the Kinect for Windows SDK Quick Start Series. This is Skeletal Tracking Fundamentals. So this is definitely going to be a fun one. We got a couple of slides and we're going to show how we can actually use skeletal tracking. So let's just jump right in. In our last video, we talked about depth data and that gave us distance and whether some specific point was a player. Skeletal tracking takes all that depth data and really does the work of figuring out what his skeletal position is. So that we, from an API perspective, just say, hey, give me the joints and tell me where they are, and then I can use them for my application. So what that actually means is the data that gets returned is a series of joints. And there's 20 different joints that you can see on the right side. So for head, left hand, right hand, hip center, and so on. Now those are all X, Y, Z, and Z being the distance from the Kinect sensor. So each of those joints is a XYZ, and that's measured in meters. And that joint has an associated state, tracked, not tracked, or inferred. So you can read some of the reasons why a joint may be inferred, but to just kind of show this visually, you can imagine where something just being cut off, say an elbow, for example, is being cut off. We can actually try and infer the position based on some of the other position of the joints. Now, another thing that you can use that's very powerful is transform smooth parameters. So this allows you to smooth the joint data to reduce jitter. Now, depending on your application needs, for example, if you have a menu application, you may want to have a really nice smooth where it just feels like it's glowing, like butter, if you will, when you're moving your hand across the menu. Now, if you're doing a fast and responsive application, you actually may not want to have a bunch of transform smooth parameters that adds sort of that latency, that sort of easing of movements. You want it to react quickly because you're trying to punch something. And if you add certain parameters, it may seem almost like there's latency and like the Kinect isn't able to track you. The point is you can use these transform smooth parameters depending on whatever your application needs. So skeletal tracking, you can track two players at once. So there's six player proposals per Kinect. And if you have multiple Kinects plugged into one machine, you can only track two skeletons. You can only choose one of those Kinects to track skeletons. Each skeleton does have a unique identifier, tracking ID, that you can build into your application a way, for example, to choose skeletons by setting the app chooses skeletons to false and then passing in the tracking ID to choose skeletons. So let's actually jump into some demos. And what I'm going to do is we'll have our Kinect up here, and I'll throw up the skeleton fundamentals demo, and we'll see this and start tracking our position. So what we have here on our UI is, let me just full screen this so you can get a better look. We have two just regular WPF ellipses that are named. This one is right ellipse, this one's left ellipse. And then this is an image control, and I'm going to move that image around. That's going to be the head. And behind here is actually a Kinect color viewer using the WPF viewer. And what I'm going to do is map the position of those based on the location of the joint. So to do that, let's jump out of here and show our screen. In our all frames ready event, we've set up skeleton tracking. We make sure if we're actually closing our application, don't do anything. Don't bother trying to render a skeleton or anything like that. We get a skeleton, and let me just show you what we do to get a skeleton. So we pass in, and we'll full screen here, get first skeleton. We loop through the skeleton frame data using the open skeleton frame. And if we get data back, what we're going to do is copy the skeleton array into all skeletons. So let's just jump into that. And that's nothing more than a skeleton array with six skeletons. And the API will always return six skeletons, even if there aren't six skeletons actually visible. It's just something built into the API. There will always be six skeletons returned. Now, what we want to do is use a quick link query to find out the first skeleton that is a skeleton tracking state of tracked. And by tracked, that means we're actually going to be able to find out the position of those joints. So get the first one and return it. So I'm going to use Control minus to jump back from the IDE. So now that we have our first skeleton, make sure it's not null. And now we're going to use another method called getCameraPoint. So what getCameraPoint does, it actually uses the depth image frame. And the reason we do that is because there's these great methods that are built in to map from one to the other, a skeleton point to a depth point, a skeleton and a depth point to a color point. So again, we're going to do a couple checks for null, and you know, if there's nothing, don't do anything. But otherwise, we are going to take your pass in to this map depth point a position of a specific joint. In the head joint for our skeleton, that's the x, y, z in meters, and the map from skeleton point is going to return an x, x, y distance and actually a player for that position. So we're going to do that for three joints: head, left hand, and right hand. So now that we have that the x and y position, we are going to pass that x and y position into another depth method called map to color image point. So that is expecting an x and y from the head depth point, and it also needs to know the image format. So at this point, what we've done is we've gone from a skeleton XYZ to the depth point, and we know the XY and the depth point. And now we need to convert. The reason we don't try and map this directly onto our color image is because both the color camera and the depth camera are slightly off. You want something to be able to map those so it's in the correct position relative to the color image. And so we call that map to color image point here. And now we have the correct position on X, Y, Z. So the last thing we need to do, now that we have all those points, is actually move those WPF objects to that location. And the way we're going to do that is we pass in for a given framework element, that can be an image or our ellipse, use the set left and set top property. So set left is what you're going to be using along the x-axis, because this is all going to be in 2D. And we're going to use point.x, and then the width divided by 2. And the reason we do this is if ellipse is, for example, 200 pixels long, we actually want, rather than the joint being right in the corner, you can imagine a box, we don't want it to be at the top left, we actually want it to be in the middle. So take the width divided by 2, so it's in the middle. Take the width, take the height divided by 2, so it's in the middle. So that's all we're doing here. You can remove the divided by 2 if that's not what you're looking for. But we want those joints to be in the middle. And what I'm going to do is just click F5 so you can see this running. And I'm going to stand up so you can see this. Now, we have our images. We can tell we're not being tracked because they're not moving. So as I stand up here, we actually see that this is tracking. Now, a couple of things here. We don't have any smooth parameters. So if you notice, it's really responsive. And you know, there's a little bit of jitter that you do see in here, but overall it's pretty responsive. The image is following me ever so awesomely. And again, it's based on those actual values. So let's show transform smoothing so you can see before and after. Now to do that, we're going to scroll up back to where we enabled our sensor. And I'm going to comment that out and comment this, and this is a series of transform smooth parameters, and you can play with these values depending on what you're looking from a responsiveness for an application. But I'm just going to set these parameters so you can see what they look like, and I'm going to click run. And now before, what you saw when I was, let's see if we can get a skeleton, when I moved my hand before, it was following along pretty quickly. Now we can see that it's kind of has a sort of latency to it, but it has a sort of smoothness, if you will, almost like a yo-yo coming back and forth, so it eases in and out. And as you play with these parameters, again, it's always going to depend on what your application is doing. In this case, I'm relatively close, so I'm moving a little farther back. But you can see, depending on what your application does, you may want to add some transform smooth parameters to get some of this smoothing and this nice sort of flowing movement, if you will. So now that we've set some transform parameters, Let's keep this just so we can follow along. Another common example, and if you noticed, anytime we are tracking, we have a 640 by 480 image, but in terms of our UX, my hand, my if I want to use this blue circle as a cursor, it's trapped, if you will, from the distance because it's tracking on my hand. And it's only going to the edge of the camera edge, the edge of the camera. So what we actually want to do is we can use some of the Coding for Fun toolkits as scaling values so that we can actually scale the position of this to go farther distances. So for example, what we're going to do is set this value, and again, we can use these in combination. What I'm going to do is I'm going to keep the head tracking based on the real position and then use the scaled position. So what this scaled position is going to do, it's going to scale the joint so that we can now move between 1280 and 720, meaning if I reach the far left that the Kinect can see, that's going to be 0. If I reach the far right, it's going to be 1280. Same with if I reach the far bottom of the camera, that's at 720. Far top is 0. And that way in our application, it's now moving. And you see the joint is no longer on my hand, but my hand can now go beyond. And if I could reach the edge of the camera, as my hand goes closer to the camera, it's 1280, closer to 1280 by 720. So the point here is if you're building an application, and you want to be able to scale a value, you can use the scale value here. Now, one thing is if we really want to reach out, and sometimes, you know, it can be a pain if we have buttons up in the corner to reach them or buttons back here. It can be a difficult process for your application for you as a user to have to reach so far. So we can actually use one of the scale to overrides. And what that's going to do is instead of saying you have to reach your arm all the way out, it's going to build almost like a bounding box that says, hey, here's how far you need to reach the edge. So while here I really have to go around the corners to reach the far distances of our application, we're going to set the scale to and see how that makes it a lot easier so our arms aren't always reaching. So to do that, I'm going to uncomment this and comment this one. And now what we're doing is scaling to 1/3 of the joint distance. So rather than having to extend my arm the full way, it's basically going to be 1/3 of the full way, if that makes any sense. So we're basically scaling that value down. Now, for example, once I get a skeleton, you'll actually see the blue is off, and it's because now, if I really want to reach the edge, it's a lot more natural than me having to reach all the way out. I now move just 1/3 of the distance, and I can move. And the point of this is, depending on your application, if you're building something like Outlook, you may not want something where somebody has to stretch so far. You can use this to scale the user position. And you can see that it's kind of jumpy here, and this is when it's a good example of using the transform smooth parameters. Now, the last thing we want to show is using the skeletal viewer. So I'm going to just go into our main window and drag and drop the Kinect skeleton viewer. And let's just go into our properties window here. And I'll zoom in so we can all follow along. And I'm going to set the width of this to 320. And the height to 240. Okay, maybe move it a little along. And the other property we need to set is to do that data binding that we did with the previous viewers. I need to apply data binding. And in this case, just like before, element name, Kinect sensor chooser, we're going to set path, and we're going to bind to the Kinect. So this way we don't have to write any code, we don't have to write any handlers. I'll click save. And now what's going to happen is we're going to see the skeleton viewer here. And I'm going to click run. And hopefully that skeleton viewer will pop up. And we see the green points there. That's actually tracking our fun skeleton. So we have both skeletons tracked. And notice the legs aren't being colored in, and that's because they're occluded or clipped. And you can see the red value telling us that we're not getting joint positions. And as we lose joints, they get colored in and colored out. So those are our quick examples for using the Kinect for Windows SDK. Again, if you have questions, definitely let us know. The samples will be available for download. And in our next video, we're going to switch and actually start talking about audio demos and how to program and record with audio. Thanks.